The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
I deal with seeds every day, planting little tiny seeds. Sometimes they are even mustard seeds. But knowing that God is the one that gives the growth, we are called to be faithful and what he's put right there in our hand, a little seed.
And the seeds this missionary is talking about are being planted by him in the Middle East. Welcome to First Person. I'm Wayne Shepherd. You're going to meet a new breed of missionary, one whose name we cannot give, but one who has found an effective way of reaching the people who live around him in the Middle East. Stay tuned for the interview. I invite you to check out our website, firstpersoninterview.com, for more about today's program. You'll also find a schedule of our upcoming interviews. Go to firstpersoninterview.com. And one more website to recommend to you is febc.org, telling the story of the Far East Broadcasting Company. FEBC's programs reach millions every day with a life-giving message of the gospel, and the stories that result are nothing less than amazing. Check them out at febc.org. FEBC, until all have heard. Kyle Smith, not his real name, is a missionary with a large, well-known mission organization. His method of building relationships with the goal of sharing Christ is through farming, a different sort of farming, though, in a part of the world where water is scarce. Kyle explains.
Yeah, aquaponics is an agriculture technique. It's a combination of hydroponics, which is growing plants in water as the medium, and aquaculture, which is the raising of fish for food or other purposes.
Okay. As you're growing up, did you say to yourself, I want to be a farmer who specializes in aquaponics?
No, I had never heard of the term actually until even going to the Middle East. But when I was a kid, I'd always had a fascination with the natural world. And I loved just playing with little creatures. And I had a bedroom full of all kinds of creatures that my mother was so patient and kind to let me do. And I ended up studying biology while I was in college.
All right, which has got to be a big help in what you do now.
It is. Yeah, it's neat to see how the Lord has used my background, my even childhood passion of seeing little creatures and how they work and how they live in an environment, to now using it for a platform for his word to go out.
It's amazing how you look back and see how the Lord prepared you, even though you didn't know you were being prepared.
Absolutely.
At the time.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Yeah. So we're going to come back to aquaponics in a moment, because you've taken it to a whole new level as far as I'm concerned and use it for ministry. And we'll find out what that's all about, Kyle. But let's talk about your faith story. When did you come to Christ?
So I had grown up in a home where my mother came to faith in the Lord Jesus in the late 80s. And it was kind of a split home, with my father thinking, not agreeing with that, and but seeing a transformation in her life. And I was in college, and I had effectively turned my back on the Lord and was not living in a manner that pleased him. And I knew it. I had really suppressed that. But through a series of events that on their own I probably could have dealt with through substance abuse or through the paths of pleasure, I would have found out a way to deal. But they all kind of came collapsing on me. And they involved a flood in my basement. They involved some very many broken relationships and drug abuse while I was trying to study for exams, and a knee injury that actually also had an amazing healing as part of this story. So I was at work. I was a waiter at a local restaurant where I went to school, and a friend said, in a very strange conversation that I had, said, you know, I go to church. Would you be interested in coming to church with me tonight? I said, I'm there.
Really?
And I had just actually collapsed in my basement in the middle of a flood. I just collapsed in weeping repentance of the life I had been living.
So the Spirit prepared the way for you, didn't he?
He did. And one of my first prayers, after looking to what Jesus had done for me, in a renewal of my life, was a 180. He'd also answered the prayer of, I need, if I'm going to live this life as a college student and as a Christian, I need to have fellowship with other Christians. Mm-hmm. And that prayer was answered in an amazing way just a few days later. I didn't think there were any other Christians at my college. It's a big secular school. And I never actually met and interacted with a Christian those first 2 years.
Now you're in your mid-30s with a family. Mm-hmm. How many children?
I have three girls.
Three girls. And you've been living in the Middle East for the last few years.
That's right. Yeah.
And your ministry is pretty amazing. That's why I want to talk to you about it. But how did you get called to do what you do? Did you ever consider moving to another part of the world and doing what you do?
I had actually, as I was graduating from this, from studying biology in university, I had a desire to be exposed to other things in the world, other cultures. And I was able to go to Indonesia right after, about a year and a half after the tsunami. And it's given me my first exposure actually to working with Muslim people, to actually interacting with them on a spiritual level of conversing about topics of faith and religion. And right after I graduated, I met a guy in a Bible study that was taking students on exposure trips to the Middle East. And we started praying and envisioning what that could look like for maybe a small group or maybe just the two of us. And it turned from a six-month exposure internship to international student ministry with internationals in the Middle East to actually 2.5 years in this same role. But it gave me exposure to people from all over the region and gave opportunity to really see this expression, this what God had done for me, and the pit that I had been saved from, to now interact with students from all different backgrounds and contexts and all over the world, to now share that story with others and see actually other Christians who are doing something similar. Mm-hmm. By sharing their faith with other students.
Even your own testimony, yeah. I'm sure, is useful in telling people about the Lord.
It was.
So the day came when you had to decide, where am I going to end up? And you ended up with your family, mm-hmm. your wife and three girls, in a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
talk about that experience.
Well, certainly it was not a decision one day that I will just be here for the rest of my adult life. But there was a few moments when I remember I was in another Middle Eastern country visiting a country with very, very few believers in the Lord Jesus. And a little boy came up to me and said, "Are you a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew?" Maybe an 8-year-old boy. And I said, "I'm a Christian." He said, "I hate Christians." Oh. The little 8-year-old boy had no idea what he was saying. And that really, really hit me hard that a kid like that had never actually, has no idea when he says, "I hate Christian," what he actually has never even heard the gospel, has never heard who Christ is. Mm-hmm. And I looked around in the city where I was and just felt this overwhelming burden for people in this city and in this region who've never actually heard of what God has done in Christ for them.
Yeah.
He has sent his own son because for his glory, that he would love people like this who, like me, were dead in their sin. And I suppose that was one of the moments. And
that's like a powerful experience.
A powerful experience, yeah. Moment that I wasn't looking for it in that moment. And it maybe on the surface doesn't sound like something that would flip me, because I was already saying, "Lord, if you are calling me to be here, I'm not looking for a calling, but I'm looking for how I can serve you." Mm-hmm. And if this is the way you're calling me, by exposing me to this, then I would continue to go in that direction.
Some important lessons there for all of us, regardless if we're missionaries or not. Mm-hmm. When did, and there's some things we can say and some things we can't say about what you do.
Sure, yeah.
But basically, you use the field of aquaponics as your basis of ministry in a country where it's not, you wouldn't be welcome otherwise.
So we're in a region, and there are many parts of the world where water scarcity is a very acute stress on many people, especially the most vulnerable to water scarcity are often those who have little access to the gospel. And we've realized that in being in a country where Christian evangelism is not welcomed, or it might be overlooked in some instances, but it's not welcomed and can't do it as a means of staying in the country,
mm-hmm.
that what is a way that the Lord would use us as and use a platform that we could establish with people and interact with them and in a dignified way to actually see techniques and technologies that could be used for feeding people and for instigating people to interact with their surroundings in a more positive way. I deal with, or I live with, I have the privilege of living among people who a lot of them don't view this country they live in as their homeland. They are yearning for a better homeland. And that's actually so much like
me. Gives you an open door, doesn't it?
Gives us an open door. And it's as a Christian, we have a longing for, we have this longing for Eden to return. And I think we all have this in us that we want to see beautiful things around us. We want to see creation restored. And yet around us, we see in a big Middle Eastern city, a lot of concrete, a lot of garbage, a lot of social problems, a lot of just degradation. And so seeing, okay, how can we use a little bit of water and see really healthy food and an exciting thing for people to cling to or to look at and say, wow, this is inspiring. We could do this in our roof, in our backyard, there's not a lot of backyards, but a lot of like empty lots or, you know, on top of a factory or something like this. We could use a little bit of water and see a big harvest from it. And that's actually one of the reasons why aquaponics works so well in the Middle East. Water scarcity is big. When you can use 90% less water and have control of really high quality vegetables, and on top of that, have a product of fish come out of the system, people will come and check that out.
And they are checking it out, as we'll learn from this missionary as we continue our conversation in a moment here on First Person.
I'm so grateful for the grace I receive while listening to FBC all day long. I cried listening to God's message multiple times.
The Far East Broadcasting Company receives millions of responses each year from grateful listeners. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is a missionary, Kyle. Not his real name, serves in a country not as a typical missionary, but as one who really has a burden to reach people for Christ, and doing so in a very unorthodox way. In a way, you're a farmer, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Aquaponics is your field. You grow vegetables. You mentioned fish a while ago. Where do fish come into all this?
So fish are, by nature, as vertebrate creatures, their excrement becomes a problem in aquaculture, where a farmer has to continually change the water to get rid of all this excess nitrogen, this mm-hmm. buildup of waste. Well, that water is usually just dumped down the drain. A hydroponics farmer has also adding chemical fertilizers to the water that's going to supplement the plants for the fertilizer that normally comes from the ground.
Guess what?
You can put those together. So the waste from the fish ends up becoming, through a bacteria colony that converts the fish waste, becomes plant fertilizer.
It's brilliant.
And it's a closed system. So you just add some fish food. The fish eat it. They grow. Their waste becomes now fertilizer for the plants.
It's brilliant. It really is. I would imagine, and by the way, did you know anything about this when you struck out to start this?
I was with the organization that I work with had seen something that had been done in China, and the military had set up these kind of camps with hydroponics that could be kind of self-contained little pods or like tents that you could grow food in, and it could support the troops mm-hmm. as they're moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody in the organization saw this and thought, this is brilliant. We could do this as access points to the unreached. This is something, it's somewhat mobile, but they were thinking, how can this actually not just give access to unreached communities, but sustain actually wow. local ministries.
It's so visionary. That's what's so exciting about this.
And we caught this vision, yeah. And we were exposed to it as a family, and did some training with some of the people that had really pioneered it in the organization, and now they gave us the tools to kind of take off.
And now they're coming to you to learn because you've learned so much. I would imagine that you rub elbows with farmers, with business people, even with scientists maybe?
Absolutely, yes. All of those.
All of those people, well, let's say most of those people are outside of Christ. So it gives you a mm-hmm. chance to build mm-hmm. a friendship.
That's
really your ultimate goal, isn't it?
And so many people are attracted to sustainability and green ideas and alternative energy really have some kind of utility in the city. How can people really butt up against it, brush shoulders with it? And so we actually developed a showcase, a model, a pilot that's a functional, how you can say, farm-to-table model of what can be used with an unused rooftop, sunlight year-round, great conditions for growing.
A
rooftop that already has people nearby actually working right in the same building, but a rooftop that before we were there was just collecting sun for that could later than
just a hot rooftop.
Hot rooftop. And the city is full of them. Actually, everywhere you look, there's some of the water tanks that are used by people. You know, we get water once or twice a week. People pump it onto their rooftops. It sits there until they use it. So there's already actually this infrastructure for roofs that are flat with water on top. We just add a few components, and you now are looking at a year-round farm-to-table
model. I think it's an amazing story. It really is. I'm fascinated by the technology, and maybe we can have a much longer conversation about that. But again, you grow vegetables, and all is for the purpose of sharing Christ ultimately with people. Tell me stories about those friendships.
Yeah, so we get a lot of people that will come find us on Facebook, or I'll find us, we've set up a little company in country that promotes this and is doing this and is serving to educate, but also serving to showcase. Some people aren't willing to take the risk of something they watched a YouTube video on, but they can come and look at it, interact with us, who've had hands-on experience with this technology for almost 5 years now.
And you're open to sharing all this.
Yeah, so we, of course, have to use a little discretion, but the people that are coming are either small farmers or are in charities that work with refugees, charities that work with maybe underprivileged people in some way, schools, high schools, even a university group that is studying water and its impact in the region, and then even young entrepreneurs who really have a want to. They see the potential of their country. They don't feel like the solution to some of these issues is just to immigrate or to mm-hmm. leave the country. But how can we harness concepts and technologies to really see them integrated into the city?
You can see why it would attract so many people.
It does, and it's amazing that these people that are coming are not the people I would normally be as walking in the street and able to just stop and have a conversation with. Through the relationship that we develop, through visiting one another in our respective projects, our farms, our homes, schools, that we get to develop relationships. And in those relationships, we pray for open doors to share our real hope.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vision that this kind of technology would be incorporated. But actually, we have an even bigger vision that God's kingdom would come and would come into the lives of people and transform them
Fantastic.
For eternity.
Wonderful. Introduce us to someone who's been affected by this spiritually.
Yeah, we have, I'll start with saying we have a had the opportunity to showcase this on a very small mobile unit last year, and got to meet people, thousands of people through the city, thousands. And it was just a 2-week thing where people were coming by and just continuing to interact with us and how this could be used. And there's just one guy in particular, I don't even remember his name, but he came by, a Bedouin guy, and lives in the desert, very conservative, and came by and started asking questions about how this could work. And he said, would this work in my community? And I said, well, what community are you referring to? He said, well, my family and I live in the desert. And we, you know, this one city that you might be familiar with? I said, yeah. He said, keep driving another hour east of that. I said, oh, wow, like a really desert dweller. And if you imagine a map of our country, there is a whole region that just has very little witness for Christ, that has no known gatherings of believers. And this guy is speaking of that region. It's like that region and beyond, even, and saying, would this work for us? Could you imagine working with us to do something like this? And I, of course, haven't held my excitement back. Like, this is exactly why we're doing this. We want to build relationships and visit you and maybe even start something out there and get a understand your community and what your community could benefit from this. And in doing that, we share not just our lives. We not just share the gospel, we share our lives with them in really real ways. It's a culture that is incredibly hospitable, incredibly warm, and it's friendly. I mean, there's a lot of, I think, news stories that maybe make us a little bit more afraid of the other,
right,
sometimes. But I have found that getting into conversations where the name of Jesus comes up and the core of the gospel actually will come up very quickly in a conversation, because one of the first questions is, why are you doing this? Are you a Muslim? Why are you doing this? You must be a Muslim if you're wanting to help people or if you're wanting to live here. And
first of all, a smile crosses your face.
A smile crosses their face. And that question, it can be a loaded question, but it can also be a sometimes political question. Uh-huh. Like, who are you with us or are you against us?
You have to be very circumspect, don't you?
But so often the Lord has given that question or very similar questions like that to a very quick establishment of what our hope is in.
What a creative way to build friendships with the goal of being a faithful witness for Jesus Christ, something not easy to do in a Muslim country. Once again, our guest has been Kyle, but that's not his real name, as you can understand why it's important to protect his ministry. Even though we cannot divulge his name, we'll have more information about the field of aquaponics on our website, firstpersoninterview.com. A word of thanks to the Far East Broadcasting Company for helping make today's interview possible. FEBC continues to grow in many countries. For example, a new radio station has been approved for Kyrgyzstan, adding yet another gospel-centered witness in that country. This is happening in several other places as well, as FEBC is continually expanding its reach into places that need to hear of God's love and salvation. You can get the latest updates by going to febc.org. That's febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next time for First Person.